97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Started the show about an hour ago, Sue. It looked like it was all cloudy. Didn't look very sunny with pool weather. I know my daughter wants to go to the pool every day. Now it's sunny out. It looks fine downtown, right? So I don't know what to make of that.
I know.
It's just weird summer weather. You know, we're going to be real sticky. You heard Dave's forecast. I haven't really checked the dew point. You know, I'm a big dew point person. But next week, and I'm taking the week off, I think the early part of next week, the highs are only going to be in like the mid-70s.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going in.
Like 74, 75 degrees.
Oh,
Alex Rich
heaven.
Is here, by the way.
I am.
Our friend who visits on a Wednesday. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. How you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well here. We are supposed to be joined by Senator Schmidt here to talk about the congressional baseball game. As someone who played collegiate baseball,
sure,
you might want to offer some advice to the senator, who is definitely one of the big players tonight. I have a special intro for him. So you ready? I did this
last year.
I like this a lot. Here we go.
From his humble beginnings as the official state senator of the Mark Reardon Show, he was elected as the 46th Missouri State Treasurer and then named the 43rd Attorney General of Missouri before becoming a United States Senator. And now, as the most valuable player in the annual congressional baseball game, it's Eric Schmidt on the Mark Reardon Show.
Oh, yeah.
On 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I got to have the natural come in here. There it is. The lights just exploded. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Eric Schmidt, have you been in the cage already today? What's the preparation right now currently for the game?
By the way, the spare no expense on the production value. I really appreciate you guys. That's incredible.
You've earned it.
Yeah,
you've earned it.
We had batting practice down on the field at Nats Park this morning. And then they had a ceremony for some of the scholarships they're giving out for the money that's raised for the game tonight. So we've been down there. It was raining, but the rain is stopping here in the next half hour. I'm putting my game face on, but not before I made time for my friend Mark Reardon.
Thank you.
And the wonderful audience in St. Louis.
Well, I've been to this game, and I'm a big fan of it because I sat with Kenny Hulsoff one year when the Republicans actually won, and it was after a big, big losing streak because the Democrats had this guy, I think his name was Cedric Richmond, and he was a good pitcher. He played collegiate. Mm-hmm. But the Republicans, you guys have been kind of dominating here the last few years, right?
Yeah, we've won five in a row. So this is my fourth game. So they won two games, and then I came on in 2023 was my first game. So we've got a pretty deep lineup, and we've got some good athletes in the heart of the order, and that's the name of the game is getting the ball in play and throwing strikes. And so that is what we'll be focused on tonight. I'll be out in left field. They've got me hitting second in the order.
Wow.
So, let's go.
Well, what I remember from 2 years ago is my friend Rondi Davis was the third base coach, and he used to catch for the congressional baseball team, the Republicans. And you really hit a good one out to left field, and I think it was a triple. Wasn't it a triple your first year?
Yeah.
Now, what I saw was I saw a guy who could hit the ball, but, man, you were out of shape. And I texted Rondi right away. I said, you better get Schmidt into shape for these future games. But, dude, you've had – I was obviously joking. You have really worked – on your fitness, and I see the videos in the cage when you're playing golf. You've made an effort getting back into shape here.
I have, and you know what? That game was actually kind of a turning point for me because there were some photographs that I didn't love from that, and just decided to get in better shape. And so, working out every day, and this game honestly is kind of a motivator for me because I want to be able to perform. I still have some of those competitive juices that get flowing in a game like this. And I joke with Rodney because it was a stand-up triple.
Yes, yes.
It was a bases-loaded stand-up triple. So I've wondered if Rodney would have sent me could I have made it all the way home.
I think he might have.
Inside the park grand slam, which would have been kind of fun. But no, it's fun. And, it gives me something to kind of, work towards. And then we have practice at 5:45 in the morning starting in March to get ready for this game, which is today. So
who are the managers for the teams?
So Roger Williams is our manager. Roger actually played at TCU back in the 1960s, was drafted by the Braves. He's a congressman from Texas. So he's our manager. Linda Sanchez manages. She's a state representative from
California.
Southern California. Yep. She manages the Democrats.
She, if I remember correctly, she was on the team when I saw the game, 8 years ago or 7 years ago or whatever, and I think she played softball. She's a real good softball player.
Yeah, so she doesn't play anymore. She's
right.
She's managing, and you know they've got a couple players on the team, but we really do. For people who've watched a lot of these games, somebody was telling me today that they think this is as good a lineup as the Republicans have had in their memory. So I just try to honestly, I just go out there. My family comes in town. I'm actually with my wife and daughters right now before we head to the ballpark. Our staff comes in. Everybody from the office goes to the game. There's friends and family there. I want to represent them. I want to represent St. Louis. I want to represent Missouri in that game. And so I get pretty locked in. I'm serious. It's kind of,
I know. I can tell.
About this. When we get off this phone call, I mean, I'll have AirPods in, listen to like Metallica or something, getting ready when I'm down on the field.
Okay, well, Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA, is going to be there too. I mean, you just have to admit that. Here's a little on-field discussion. That's a long story that we go back on a long time ago. Tim Burkett kind of doing a Q&A here.
Now, what did you say about the camera for you?
The camera makes love to me. I never take a bad picture.
This guy, an all-star right out here. Is that the deal?
Yeah, third string. Was fifth string. Had meteoric rise. Somebody pulled a hamstring and somebody went to outfield. Boom, I'm third string. Any of you guys out there running for Congress thinks you're going to walk out here and take third string?
Oh,
you're going to have to.
They had a little fun with that, right, Eric?
Yeah, so what I didn't expect, Mark, from it was I'm really the only senator that plays. Joni Ernst is on the team. She's out there, but in the starting lineup. And then it's mostly House members. And so to be out there with these House members, I've gotten to know them. You know, Steve Scalise is out there. Tim Burchett's a character. So, you know, you can kind of bond with them on something other than just straight politics, and those relationships matter, of course, but I think people think we see each other all the time, but the Senate's kind of in its own world, the House is in their own world, so that's been something I didn't expect and built some friendships along the way.
That's a fascinating point, and I told people this after I started going to D.C., and there was a stretch where I was going many, many years to a conference in June that this immigration group Fair would put on, and it was, I think mostly the American people, the conventional wisdom would be, look, all these guys and ladies and gentlemen, they work together on Capitol Hill. I was struck by the division that there was between the Senate and the House and how few relationships there were. So that is interesting. But why are there only a couple of senators? Are they all terrible athletes? Why is that? Why is it so heavily tilted toward the House?
The Senate skews older. The average age of a United States senator is 68 years old. So when you're coming in your late 40s, you know, you bring the age down a little bit. So I think that has something to do with it. But yeah.
No, that makes sense. Quickly, by the way, you know, have fun tonight. It's going to be on TV. Chad Burgum does a great job with the play-by-play. All the staffers are there. It's a fun event. Fred's kids used to work out there. One of your sons was at the game, and I think people have a lot of fun. But you were mentioned, I think, by the president today. Well, that's the wrong one. That's the intro. Here it is.
Eric Schmidt has been an incredible senator, wherever you may be, Eric. He's tall enough. He's usually not too hard to find.
He was there in the room, and then he says, you're going to handle Graham Plattner.
This guy's a thug. He's a low-level thug. And he's running to be a senator, to work with Eric Schmidt. Great, Eric will handle him, I think. To be with Barrasso, who the hell do we have to be with Rand? Now, Rand would be very interesting with him. Rand would figure it out. It'll put him away.
So you're on the list there to take care of Plattner, just so you know.
It's kind of surreal, though. You know, me, Mark, it feels like yesterday I was in studio with you in the roundtable running for the state Senate, you know, being from St. Louis. And to be in the same day, to be in the Oval Office with the President of the United States and him, you know, saying nice things about me. And then, you know, later on that day, going to play in a congressional baseball game with 35,000 people in the stands. It doesn't feel real to me sometimes, but I think it keeps me pretty grounded, but I'm just enjoying it and trying to represent Missouri the best way I can, you know, in the halls of Congress and then, you know, tonight out on the field.
My only advice is the same advice I've given you several years. Don't suck. There's a lot on the line. There's more on the line now, man. The expectations are high here. You understand that, right?
I know. That's the problem. When you perform, people, you know, what have you done for me lately? So I'm going to try to go out there. Although it wasn't a good omen. I had a decent BP this morning. And I walked away, and one of the Democrats said, nice VP, Schmidt, don't worry, we're going to walk you full-time.
Look at that. They may walk you because your bat is working well.
The pitch selection will matter. You know, you got to be patient. But, you know, you got all these people here, and you want to perform. So, but that is what a good baseball player will do, so I will try to just, you know, only swing at good pitches tonight.
Have a blast. You know I love you. Have a great time. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That's great. Bye-bye. And, you know, that's another great example of why I like him so much.
He's a normal person.
He is a normal person.
Yes.
And, Alex, I was going to have you give him some baseball advice, but I think he's got to take
it. My only advice, he didn't say he was going to stretch. That was going to be my only advice.
Okay.
Make sure you stretch.
Well, yeah, that's at that age. The thing that I always say, I don't even know if this resonates with people. I was trying to tell my friend Ken this at the Cardinals game last night. And, Alex, this may resonate with you. So when you're at the game and maybe even in television, if you see a major league fly ball, right, these guys come toward the ball, you don't realize how fast they're really going because they make it look effortless, mm-hmm. right? So when you see a ball go out to the outfield tonight, it takes them forever to get to the ball, whether it's a ground ball or a fly, because they're not professional athletes and they're still covering the same amount of ground.
Yeah.
You know, this is a baseball game. It's not a softball game. It's not a smaller field. It's the same field that
it's the
Nationals play on.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see. And there are some good, you know, there's some good athletes on these teams. And Linda Sanchez, who is not playing, that Democrat, she was smoking the ball when I saw her play baseball, so she was really better than a lot of the guys. So we'll see what happens. Joni Ernst from Iowa is in that lineup tonight as well. We got Sue's News on a Wednesday coming up next.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got some interesting national days today. Fred, let me be the first to say happy National Frosted Cookie Day to you.
Oh, that's a good one.
How about that?
I like a frosted cookie. You know, their example was like a white sugar cookie with the pink frosting, a little bit of sprinkles on there.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And then it reminded me that Mark Reardon is a cookie man.
Oh, yeah.
And I have not seen a frosted, but that sounds good.
I've never done a frosted.
Yeah, that's
would
what
you
I mean.
Say you would say you're an avid cookie fan.
Of course I am.
Well,
it doesn't matter the type of cookie. You don't discriminate against any.
I've been trying a lot of the different, because my daughter has become a big crumble cookie fan, so they brought some crumbles home. That basically amounts to my mortgage payment.
Do you rate them? Do you give ratings?
With those cookies, you can legitimately only eat like a portion of
those
them.
Those are cakes.
Are they huge? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Those are cakes.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. But they're delicious. It's also National Black Cow Day, which I had to look up. It's root beer floats.
Yeah. This was a big deal when I was a kid. Oh. We called them black cows.
Did you really?
Fritz's Frozen Custard has them, but I guess they're regionally people didn't always call them that. But yeah, we call them black cows.
Do we also celebrate
black cows today, though, as
well? We can. You know what? It's freedom of choice. Okay. Freedom of choice. It's also National Egg Roll Day, and I have found, listen, I am not anti-egg roll, but I have found myself for the last probably decade moving into the, I move away from the egg roll, and I like the, what do you call those, pot stickers.
Oh, I like pot stickers.
Oh, yeah, great. Pot stickers are great.
When given the choice, I'm going pot stickers.
What about you?
Good
spring
pot stickers at Trader Joe's.
Well, while we're on those like appetizer type thing, what about the Crab Rangoon? Because to me, that trumps the others.
Not me. I'm still going pot stickers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fred?
I do pot stickers. Yeah. It's my favorite.
I don't know, man. That one might be tough.
The Crab Rangoon is just...
But I don't make that at home. That's the thing.
No.
Yeah, you got to go out for that. It's also National Ballpoint Pen Day, which is important. And it was 83 years ago today in 1943 that the ballpoint pen was patented by Laszlo Berio of Hungary. So the ballpoint pen is 83 years old today.
Yeah.
I've gone back to that because the fancy ones, after a while, drive me nuts. So
well,
I'm back to the ballpoint
pen. They run out of ink faster, don't they?
Yes, Mark. I feel like that's a thing.
I feel like the ballpoint's like probably the smoothest pen on the market.
Yes. And you know where you are, right? You can watch it go down if you got a Bic.
Fred and I are Sharpie guys, though. We don't really use ballpoint pens.
I like Sharpie.
Sharpies.
Sharpie is nice.
Not even the fine tip.
No.
You go full.
No, we go full Sharpie.
What?
Full
Sharpie.
Whatever comes into work for free is what I mean. Me too.
Yeah. Mm.
And 82 years ago today, it was 1944. I don't think I knew this. Joe Nuxhall, the youngest pitcher in Major League history, made his debut at 15 years, 10 months, and 11 days old. What, Fred?
That's incredible. Yeah.
It was real?
15. Oh, yeah, it was real.
He walked 5 batters in less than an inning. Well, duh.
I'd say.
He was only 15?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who tried it? Do you remember what team it was? I didn't look that up. Sue's News
has failed
you. I'm thinking
it might have been like the Braves, Milwaukee Braves.
Why somebody thought that was a good idea?
It almost seems like that would be something that would happen more in the modern era just because these kids have gotten so big and into weight training and stuff. Back then, that's baffling. That had to be really little guys. It really is.
Now this has a sound. 32 years ago today, in 1994, this movie was released.
In a few blocks, we take a soft turn to the right.
We'll find you, okay?
Okay. And wait a minute, wait, escort to where? Where do we get an escort to?
Look out!
That's Sandy Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
That is correct. Speed.
You know, I watched it again within the last 2 years. It holds up. It's really good. Yeah, it does. It's an excellent action movie. Have you seen it?
Speed's great.
Yeah, it's really good.
I watch it every time it's on.
The bus, right?
Yeah.
There's other ones as well, though. I mean, there's like
Speed 2, I think. But I just kind of remember.
It is
Speed
great
1.
When he gets under that bus and he's just.
Yeah, you're right. That is great, Fred.
And wasn't that kind of really the breakout for Sandra, too?
Yes, because she looks like a baby.
Right.
It was 1994. What were you going to say, Fred?
Joe Nuxall, Cincinnati Reds.
Cincinnati Reds. I'm sure they thought that was a great idea. What? All right, the World Cup kicks off tomorrow. And even though most of the games take place in the U.S., Americans apparently do not care. According to a new poll, 54% of Americans are not at all interested in the tournament. Now, I'm afraid I'm in this.
I'm kind of in it, too.
I really wish that I weren't. I wish that I were into it. Alex, where do you fall?
I also wish I was more into it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. I'm kind of surprised, Mark.
I'm surprised, Mark, you're not into it just because, like, you know, people would think you're cool or something.
Look, that's a good point.
I'm just being who I always am, and I'm married to someone who played collegiate soccer, it just bores the living daylights out of me. And I think it's ridiculous that there are ties in any sport.
Yes.
But here's what I would say. Like, when the women are good, or if the men are good from a patriotism and USA standpoint, I've watched games that are very compelling and they're exciting, right? Mm-hmm. Overall, bores the living daylight out of me. I don't get it. I don't understand the game, and I really don't care to watch
it. I never wanted to play it ever. It's a lot of running.
It is
a lot of running.
And those 46% that are interested are really interested.
But they love it, right?
Well, right. And even Brian Kilmeade, who is flying out to L.A.
Yes, you're right,
to
Fred.
Be at the first game.
I'm just going
to
tell you that
tomorrow.
We talk about the nation's issues, and I made this declaration 30 years ago. Soccer has ruined America. It's kept young people from playing baseball and football.
It has been destructive to
our American culture.
I'm
just going to stand by that.
Fred, you know, it was nice of you to think 46% are into it. They actually say that 54% of Americans are not at all interested. Another 14% are not very interested.
Oh, okay.
And only 13% say they're very interested. So we'll see.
Here's what I would say, though, about sports overall. And I'm being serious now. Obviously, I was joking a little bit there. Like, I didn't watch hardly any hockey this year, but I am glued to these Stanley Cup finals.
Are you really?
Oh, my God. I can't get away from it.
Are you a Vegas fan?
I'm rooting for them because I go out there a lot.
Of course.
But I'm just telling you, from a sports perspective, it is exciting. And, Fred, you know this. You're watching it. The World Cup can be like that, too. There are going to be good, compelling games that I will watch and will be into.
And I didn't watch one NBA game this year.
Yeah.
And
the finals are awesome.
It's great.
Yep. The finals, and I can't wait.
I was just going to say, the finals right now, I feel like it's everybody. He's kind of discovering, like, basketball in the final, like, in this type of setting.
The difficulty here, though, with the World Cup is that we've never had a great men's team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, that's part of the poll. They say 72% of U.S. soccer fans say, we'd best bet against our own team if we could win money.
Exactly.
They're not that great, so we will. Serena Williams won a doubles match yesterday. It was her first in about 4 years. And it was in London. She's 44, by the way. Her doubles partner is 19.
Wow.
That can't hurt. So they can move quickly. And just to keep you hip, there's a new travel trend that's gaining traction called plop vacation. Instead of cramming your trip full of sightseeing and excursions, you just plop down on a beach chair and spend your vacation relaxing. Travel experts say people often come home from vacations feeling exhausted because they try to do too much.
Yeah.
I think people do try to do too much.
I agree.
I like a good beach vacation with some music and just hanging out.
Vacation and trips, though, there's a fine line. You know, we've been talking about this lately. Vacations, relaxing. Trips, you're going, you're doing things.
Yeah, right.
Do I have this in there? Okay, let's play a little bit. Oh, I'm running out of time. This is Stanley Simmons. It's a duo made up of Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons' sons, and they've released this song called Cellophane.
You know, it's funny. When I saw the audio in there, I instantly thought of Gene Simmons, and I didn't think there was a connection.
Yeah.
Is that any good?
Well,
do we hear lyrics
it's coming
here?
Up. It'll come. I can see right
through you like a cellophane. All right, I can see.
Yeah.
I might put that on a playlist and check it out. Cellophane by Stanley Simmons. I like that. There
yep.
you go.
Finally, in Sue's News, today's random fact. Humans can never land on Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, or Neptune. They're made of gas and have no solid surface.
Huh. There you go. We'll go out with this song here. Coming back with more. Oh, it's a Wednesday afternoon. We are getting through it with our friend Alex Rich here in this 4 o'clock hour. Sue's here, Fred as well. Ethan's hanging out, doing the producing in the other room. I've been hearing from a couple of my children today during the show. Here's some breaking news from Houston. Are you remember for this one? Ready for this one?
Yeah.
Alex is about to be a father in like 3 months for the first time. My son just said, you know, I have the grandson, Idris, that Idris, this is kind of personal, might be in like the TMI situation, but here's the notification. Guess who just used the potty like a big boy today? Now, that's a big, big step. For like a year and a half, you're
right. Yeah, it is.
So, and he goes, he peed on me a little bit first, but he got the rest in the toilet. I'd say that's
good. Oh, yeah.
Baby
that's
steps
success.
To the good thing. So, and then my daughter is actually watching on the feed today, and she goes, hey, have fun in your show. I see Alex is on your show today. Why are you talking about pot stickers? Are you going to talk about me, big old man? That's what she calls me, old man, constantly. It's elder abuse, what I try to tell her. And I think she's going to be grounded for a month after these exchanges. So we often
you
talk.
Look good. You do look good for an old man, though. I give you credit. I mean, you kidding me?
She's the one who has aged me. All right, we talk about food every once in a while. I don't know if this is a particular food that we've discussed, a vegetable. We've talked about vegetables before.
Uh-huh.
I think I've admitted that, and we even, I think Brussels sprouts might have come up here a couple of days ago. I remember being forced to eat my Brussels sprouts. I would eat them whole and just wash them down with milk when I was a kid, right?
Mm.
And then had this epiphany in, you know, the late 2000s, right around 2009 or so, because my wife was working out of town at the time, and my dear friends now, Mike and Karen Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. you know them.
Sure.
They invited me down for dinner, and Karen made these Brussels sprouts. I'm like, oh my God, these are delicious, right?
Yep.
So it was just in my head from being a kid. And I think as an adult, I've come to appreciate some of these things. Now, I haven't taken the step on some other vegetables out there, nor do I think I will.
Why?
One of them would be, well, I'm going to explain that in a second.
I'd like to say that Brussels sprouts, I think, have made the biggest jump over the last,
agreed.
I don't know.
If you're doing power rankings.
Totally
years.
Agree.
Yeah, I think I they have increased in rankings by exponential amounts.
Agreed.
Right.
I
People
think they went
out.
From the worst to one of the top notch if they're done the
okay.
right way.
Now, I'm out, and I can't remember the last time, and maybe you can convince me that these would be good, but I'm out on lima beans, okay?
Nope.
Oh, no
nope.
lima beans.
They're delicious.
They're
okay,
like
well,
plastic.
You
Thank
just
you.
Have to cook them yes. properly.
Right. So then this next question. This is going
to
be
and
controversial.
And they have to be baby lima beans.
Oh, maybe that's our
plan. Yeah, that could be. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that
I'm going to offer my offer word here. It was actually used earlier in a different context. Peas.
Yeah.
I like them a lot.
So really?
Too. Oh, yeah,
I like
delicious.
Them a lot. They're great with like a pasta.
What,
like
agreed.
I like them maybe more mixed into something rather than standalone.
You guys, seriously, right? What's the fresh peas? Have you had fresh ones?
I got to tell you,
I don't know, but
one of my favorite snacks lately has just been the whole
sugar
snap pea.
Yeah, give me a
the whole pea pod.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Okay, let me ask this question.
Dip it in a little.
Like I like that from a Chinese or a Thai place or something like that, and you do the soy sauce. Is that, am I basically eating peas?
Those
there?
Are edamame, I think.
Yeah, but is
edamame
that,
is
oh,
what?
Edamame is soybean.
Okay.
Seems like a
so it's not a pea.
Pea pod.
No. So, but if you eat a sugar snap pea, they're delicious in the pod.
This I like
is
it why just cold out of the fridge.
Yeah.
Right,
dip
so
it
this
in
is
a little ranch dressing.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
back when I was, like, there was a period in my life where I was like a salad bar guy, right? Because I think we had we all had ourselves convinced at a certain point. It's interesting to see the cycles of health and information, but we all had ourselves convinced that if we ate salads, we'd be much healthier. And then we, you know, put lots of ranch dressing and cheese and eggs and all that stuff. And I was really good at that. But I liked peas when I would do my salad. You know, so I would put them on the salad.
Sweet.
But I can't remember the last time I've had peas. So this is from the New York Times. How healthy are peas? Don't let childhood memories of mealtime standoffs turn you away from these nutritional powerhouses. So they say that the humble pea has a lot going for it. Gregor Mendel, the father of genetics, used pea plants to study how heritable traits were passed from parents to offspring. The plants are also friendly to the environment, with a low carbon footprint and roots that naturally nourish the soil. And they say, love them or hate them, peas are a powerhouse of nutrition.
They're delicious.
According to someone named Rebecca McGee, who is a plant geneticist at Washington State University. So they're members, of course, of the legume family, high in protein and fiber. They taste sweet, but they're full of complex carbohydrates, but they won't spike your blood sugar. Garden peas, also known as sweet peas or English peas, are the most common type. They're often sold frozen, fresh, or canned. Other common varieties, usually eaten with their pods intact, are snow peas and the aforementioned snap peas.
So good. You can get them at Schnucks and just gnaw on them. They're so good.
They say this is interesting, and I didn't know this, because a standard half-cup portion of cooked garden peas, how many grams of protein?
Oh, I don't know.
That's 4 grams of protein just in a half cup of peas. I would say that's a pretty good number there, right?
Yeah. Don't ever eat the canned peas. That'll put you off.
No canned.
No canned anything.
Well, one of the things they say here is they use peas, and I didn't know this, they use them in protein powders and alternative meat products and plant milks as well.
I could just cook some with butter and a little bit of garlic salt.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's delicious.
I totally agree. I think it's about the way you prep it, honestly.
It really is.
Yeah, I think, you know, people who maybe grew up not liking vegetables or whose kids don't like I think you're just doing it the wrong way.
So look at this, though. You know, because it's the New York Times and they have the eating section and everything. I don't think I pay for all the recipes, but they do offer some suggestions in here. So they say sauteed peas with anchovies and scallions.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep.
They say the peas end up almost shockingly sweeter when cooked with salty, punchy anchovies and, you know, spicy garlic. Then there's one. This is something I think I would try, and I think I might like this. One pot salmon in dill rice with peas.
Yum.
That actually looks pretty good. It's peas and coriander rubbed salmon steamed together over rice.
Yum.
All right, I like that one there. Pan-seared chicken with peas and prosciutto.
Yum.
That actually looks pretty good, too.
Sweet and salty.
Cauliflower, cashew, pea, and coconut curry. Cauliflower is a vegetable that I like, but I like it more with a bunch of cheese on it, I will say that.
Sure.
Same thing for broccoli. How about lamb meatballs with pea pesto?
Okay, pea pesto is outstanding. I have a recipe for a pea salad with pea pesto. It is outstanding.
Really? Huh.
I might give it to Alex.
I will give it a try.
Okay.
I had no idea. So there's maybe, you know, there's a resurgence in peas that I was unaware of, and I need to give them a chance. I think that when I do have them at restaurants, if they're mixed in with something, it's not like I'm going to put them to the side. I'll tell you one thing I don't like, and this is another thing I like in some recipes, but I'm not a big celery person. But if it's part of something like, you know, Chinese food or something like that, but I don't really care much
for
celery.
How do you feel about mushrooms?
I love mushrooms.
That's
big
good.
Mushroom guy.
Love raw mushrooms.
Whenever you do the
mushrooms.
Hibachi, you know, we did hibachi a couple weeks back for my birthday. They do everything else, then they get to the mushrooms last. And there's always like these people that just can't stand.
I
them, again, the way that they are cooked.
Yes.
At the hibachi place, but typically I don't love mushrooms.
Fred, were you on mushrooms? I don't think Fred likes mushrooms.
No. I don't like mushrooms.
Yeah, I could tell from your reaction in the room.
Fred, what veggie do you like?
Probably a carrot, right?
I think
like
you just
Brussels
answered.
Sprouts.
Okay.
I like carrots.
Okay.
I can do peas.
I don't like carrots.
Do you like the carrot or the carrot chip? Because we recently just bought a veggie tray at Costco.
Yeah.
Keep it in there. This is how you eat a lot of vegetables.
Okay.
Snack on them.
Yeah.
You open the veggie tray, keep it right there. They're already all there, obviously, for you. But they give you a couple options of carrots. So one of them is the carrot chip, which is more cut like a chip.
Yeah.
And you could
dip
it.
And then you could dip it.
Oh.
The other is just a normal carrot.
I don't like cooked carrots. I like plain carrots.
I understand that one.
Right.
I don't like either of them. Carrots are not my
I love a roasted
corn on the
carrot.
Same. There's a place called the Evie in Chicago downtown that does these roasted carrots, and it's so good it makes me teary. I think you'd like them.
I would argue to say that I make some of the best corn on the cob. Seriously. Wrap each individual piece in foil. Put a little garlic, nice. Butter.
Oh. And then where do you cook it? On the grill?
On the grill.
Yeah.
Put it on that top shelf for about an hour.
Oh.
Flip it every once in a while.
That sounds really good. I've never cooked corn for that long.
Then it doesn't dry out because you got it all just soaking in that.
Oh, that sounds excellent.
You go through a lot of foil doing it.
Yes.
But
it's recyclable, right?
It is. It's worth it. Every penny
starving
of it.
I'm learning a lot about today and mushrooms and everything else. Hey, our friend Matt Lawrence from Game Day Men's Health is here. He's going to join us coming up next. Well, we still have in the next hour, we visit on Wednesdays with my friend Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. He will talk all things political. Catherine Hanaway, the attorney general, will be here at the bottom of the hour. Look, this whole thing that happened the other night at Sky Zone in Shrewsbury, and it really wasn't the other night. It was during the day. It was outrageous. And, you know, she's calling for more parental responsibility and juvenile justice reforms. We'll get to that. I will have an audio cut of the day. We are set tomorrow with State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick. He revealed something today on the Francis Howell School District, which is just outrageous. They basically paid a superintendent $250,000 who never did a day of work in the district. So that's awesome. And no one can say why, because they all signed NDAs. So that's all coming up in the next hour. We are joined in the studio not only by my friend Alex Rich, who's hanging with us, but also Matt Lawrence with Game Day Men's Health, a great sponsor of the show. He's got two locations, one out in Chesterfield, one in O'Fallon. Matt, how are you this afternoon?
Doing awesome, Mark. Thanks
it
for
is
having
good
me.
To see you. Alex, you are the one that introduced me to Mr.
And
Matt
And you didn't
Lawrence.
See, he's got great shoes on over here today as
what
well.
What are you wearing today?
He's got
what
these
kind of
red,
kicks?
These are like the red
game
day.
Oh, yeah. I like
the red game day classics.
Yeah. Those look really good.
Custom, huh?
Well, to get real close to that microphone, I want you to talk about some things that you guys do. And one thing that I always kind of refer to when I'm talking about game day, obviously testosterone replacement therapy is something I think that people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. And what we talk about with game day is the game day difference and the quality of what you have. But there's a lot of people that are interested, and I never even heard the word peptides, mm-hmm. I don't think, until I met you. But peptides and vitamin injections, those have become popular, right? What can you tell the listeners about that that they might need to know?
Yeah, so you're right. Peptides, it's all the rage lately. And so what peptides really are block chains of amino acids. And what they do is they signal your body to do something more of something that it's already doing.
Okay.
So for like putting on muscle growth, there's peptides that are called growth hormone releasing peptides, and they just basically stimulate your pituitary gland to release more growth hormone. There's peptides for recovery, stimulate your body to produce more
sports injury recovery.
Yeah,
stuff
sports
like
injury,
that.
Working out hard in the gym.
Right.
Peptides for sleep, peptides for, you know, cutting visceral fat, things like that. So they fall into like the ones we deal with fall into like three or four of those kind of categories where they're either for muscle growth or they're for recovery or they're for cellular health, like cellular regeneration, longevity type of things.
Have those been around for a while and we just haven't heard about it? Or is it a situation where, you know, this is kind of new and fashionable?
Been around for a while, but yeah, just sort of getting kind of new and fashionable.
One of the things I think you told me though, like there's misinformation out there, and some people might not understand.
Yeah, a lot of dangerous ways to get peptides. So what happened a couple years ago is a lot of peptides were they were changed how they were classified by the FDA, and really what it did was it made it where. It kind of opened up this scary gray market online. So you can get all these kind of peptides online, and it's their research.
That's sketchy.
Yeah,
right?
They're research grade. You don't know where they're coming from. It's not under a doctor's care. You don't know what the purity is. There's a lot of heavy metals in them, impurities, things like that. You don't know the potency, anything, because none of it's regulated.
Right.
So there's, like a lot of other things, there's a... there's a safe way to get your health care and get your vitamins and supplements and peptides, and there's a not so safe way.
Right.
And the safe way would be to
come
to a brick and mortar place. I don't even care if I tell people, come to me, great, but it just don't go online for some of this stuff.
Yeah. We want people to come to you though.
Yeah.
We definitely want people to come to a brick and mortar place.
Two things are different for sure. The peptides that you're getting are being compounded at an FDA-approved and licensed pharmacy. So they are being compounded there. So there's all kinds of that rigor that comes along with being an FDA-approved pharmacy. And then it's called API, active pharmaceutical ingredient. That is held to, it's not research grade, it's pharmaceutical grade. So it is held to a whole level, different standard and different level of rigor as well.
Okay, that's interesting.
So two things right there. And then third, you come in and you get it prescribed by a doctor under a doctor's care with a plan and follow-ups and checkups and all that good stuff.
Now, are you guys, you're doing stuff with GLP-1s at game day, right?
That's correct. And the GLP-1, just not to geek everyone out or geek out on everyone, but GLP-1s are a peptide as well. And so that's kind of what, you know, helped the whole peptide movement get going too, is that, hey, this weight loss stuff is actually a peptide. Yeah. And then, hey, what other peptides are there?
Yeah. So are you doing, because some people are, like, I think it's Serena Williams, like some people are microdosing some of the GLP-1s too, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between doing that and going all in?
Yeah, so microdose means basically they're just taking the same weekly dose that they would have and just kind of taking it each day, because some people will feel some peaks and valleys.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I inject once a week, and so if I inject on Thursday, by like Wednesday midday, I'm ravenous, you know, and so some people will try to kind of break that up across the week in smaller doses.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. All right, well, the one thing that I think we want to emphasize here is, you know, if people have questions, you're still offering the 1 hour visit, right? Come on in, get the blood work, you get it back in 20 minutes, and then you talk and have a consultation with professionals in the office. I've been to the Chesterfield location. Alex has been there too. It's great. It's a man cave environment, and really you staff it with the best professionals. So I wanted to get you in here and incentivize some of the listeners. You got the clinic in Chesterfield, real easy to find off 6440 Alvin Clarkson. Then you have the O'Fallon location now, right?
Yeah, correct. O'Fallon, Missouri, right at K and 64. Both real easy to get to, right off the highway. Like you said, call, make an appointment, get you in and out in an hour. But with no cutting corners, get full, you know, full consultation, full blood work with results, all that good stuff.
GameDayMensHealth.com. Yep. Look Matt up. Go out to the locations out in Chesterfield or O'Fallon. But thanks for coming in. I haven't seen you in a little while, so it's good to have you. And glad Alex pointed out the red kicks here this afternoon.
Telling you, right?
As well. Do you have to put up with him very much? Do you see him a lot? We had lunch recently, didn't we? That wasn't too long ago. We had a nice little lunch.
Yeah, because remember, because your kid's working at the golf course,
Old Warson. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So.
Yes. This is a teenager doing like caddy work and stuff like that?
He's doing all kinds of stuff. So he's in a golf program run through the PGA, like it's called Golf Management. He's at University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And
guy can golf.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
So he's
have you played with him? Have you seen
no,
him?
But I mean, if you're going to go into that and be a golf pro, ultimately, that's what.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Does he get that from his dad or what?
Skips a generation.
Yeah, I guess
sure.
It does, right? Doesn't that piss you off? Man, yeah. I've got another friend who has a son. It just kind of came out of nowhere, and he's not at all into golf, but his son is like really, really good. So it does happen. Matt Lawrence, Game Day Men's Health. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in. Alex, it was even great to see you.
Great to see you.
Can't always say that.
Get more at 971talk.com.